probably have about
was on.
Good. Testing. You can hear me anyway. Come on. It's good. I'm usually here for a long time after the shear, and they're usually enough silas to last us for a few weeks. I guess the alien was depending on it. They were shy. They didn't send too many in, but it's fine because just from what I have over here, we'll get us started, and the Elam, if we cover this, shouldn't be shy, and they can call out from the floor. I just reserve the right not to answer them on the spot. Sometimes they're too sensitive, and sometimes it's very person-specific. I also brought them to leave here. The Wiz Mishul ended up fitting over 1,000 shirim on this, and it's basically free. It just costs $10 to get a blank one, so I keep making more. So if you want, you can help yourself. I'm hesitant for Bukharim. If you have to put this in a computer to get it down, or it plays in a car, so not unsupervised. You get somebody else to get it down for you. You can put it on a MP3. It's easy to listen to, but this is the smallest form we have to date with the amount on there. It's about 20 years worth on here. So if you hear yourself from a previous year from this, I think the shirim from last year are probably on here already. So if you recognize your voice, it's probably you. Let me begin with two Yontif Shailas. One, somebody happened to ask me yesterday, this didn't happen in my shul. It was somewhere in Muncie. But there was bidding for a kibbud. And they were trying to get somebody, in this case, they were trying to get somebody to stop smoking. So they wanted to offer a kibbud. They're going to pay him X amount, many, many thousands of dollars. And if he breaks it, then he's got to pay double. And they bought the kibbud, and then let's say they offer $20,000. The only thing, if he stops, but if he breaks it, then he's got to pay $40 to the shul. Wasn't my shul, so that's why I could deal with the shaila. So the next day he tainted. This is not the first time I've heard this. That's why I'm repeating it. This ma'aseh shaila happened to be this yontif, but I've heard this attempted taina over various similar scenarios. And he the next morning realized what he was up against. I guess didn't want to stop smoking, and he tainted that it's not chal because he was drunk. So they asked him, you were drunk, you remember the whole maisa, you were answering questions. Matter of fact, when we first gave the bid of 5,000, you said it's too low, and we kept going higher. There was a masa matan, and it was quite coherent. So he said, nah, you should say yeah, and it wasn't chal. So you can undo the entire mechira of Simchas Torah in some places for that. So is that a taina? Is it not? There's a minig we have, Ashkenazim have the minig, that the day you get married, you fast. There are various reasons give. It's a day of kapara. One of the only reasons given in Rishayim, by the Rakeach, is that we want to make sure that you don't have a taina later on that you were Shasiya Yayin, and whenever anybody ate, they drank. They didn't have coke, they didn't have water, they drank wine. So anybody to have the taina, he wanted to have a clear das, and that's why the minig developed to fast. Lamaisa, the Rambam says, the Farish and Hukhaz Mechira, Hashikar Mecha Mecha Chememker Memker, whatever kinyanim are chal, matanaisiv kayamin, bukhayri his nadarim also, vimegi l'shechusa shalait, shayla had to define shechusa shalait, but I wasn't there, but the way I heard over the story, this was nowhere near shechusa shalait. The pashtus is that he was happy. He had a lot to drink, but they were holding a regular conversation and they were wheeling and dealing. It's a person who b'chal doesn't know what he's doing, certainly doesn't have recall. Shaila is, what is shechusa shalait here mean? There's another Rambam Hachashchita that has a lashon that chayrish a katan or a shikar. And there he says that he had a bilbul adas. Sounds a little less than shechusa shalait, but it's not a patur for anything you happen to do. In Hilchos Purim, there's a din. If you're mazik somebody a small amount of hezek, there's implied mechila because everybody's having a good time. That doesn't apply to a serious hezek that is already very costly, or to do a ma'isa hezek b'mezid. But the fact that somebody happened to be drinking, l'chayra is not a patur. I thought it was interesting because I've heard various forms of this taina, the Rambam, whatever your shechusa shalayit is, the Bilbo Das is, it doesn't mean Yisam had something to drink. It's not the shasi who had a revius, he shouldn't paskin shaylus. For kinyanim purposes, it's a higher threshold. A bracha called me Matzah Yom Tov Rishon, Matzah Shabbos. And he asked me a very good shaila, which is a shaila all year round. For the Bacharam here, it's certainly something to focus on and think about. He wanted me to give him some clarity on the Sugyim Psochim of Ika Daika Achrina. So I said, you asking now because you're planning a Cholamoid trip? So he said, yeah. The Sugyim Psochim, if you never learned it, it's applicable to Bacharam. It's applicable to married people till around the age of 109. After that, they can re-ask the shayla. Ikadak Achrina is the chiyuv, apidin, the imperative, to always make sure wherever you're going, if there's pritzis in the area where you're going, you go a different route, if there is a different route, and if there isn't, you have to make sure that you have to be where you have to be. You don't have to be there. Why would you want to subject yourself to a Nisayan and Shemir Zenayim, which many people fail to varying degrees because they can't walk into the wall and they have to be looking somewhere. So the question, obviously, going to get the Cholamoed, he's planning a Cholamoed trip. And obviously, there's the minig in Klal Yisrael is that Cholamoed morning, you talk about it for about 6-7 hours where you're going. I don't know what goes on at your house, but that's the minig by me. And then around the 2 o'clock or something like that, then we realize, you know, the day's almost gone. Let's go to the Bronx Zoo, and then we find out that's not free today. The free day was yesterday, and then we figure out something to do somewhere. But part of the planning has to be. You know, most people throw their hands up and they say, "Well, I don't know, Daka Shrina. There's no place to go where there aren't people," which is not true. There's less people and there's more people, and there's also give Daka Shrina, and there's also the sugi of common sense of. You don't have to look. This is not super yeshiva shachumra. This is not looking greasy. This is not looking whatever expression you want to use. This is these are deraisas over here, shmiras enayim, and lack of shmiras enayim, and the serious issues that brings. And you have to plan ahead and put yourself in a matzah of chalamoid and during this man and on Erev Shabbos and whenever you have off and whenever you're going anywhere that you're putting yourself in a matzah where you're only. In that matzav, if you have to be there, and it's contained in terms of the nisyanis, the shmiris, and the like. It's a davar pashut. I'll throw this out, even though there's always a huge amount of screaming and yelling and pushback afterwards, not during the shiur, but usually afterwards. It's very interesting. Whenever I say this, half the bachram in the room get it, and like, why do I even have to say it? It's pashut. And the other half don't understand what in the world the words mean. It's a funny divide. Nothing to do with Cholamoed. When you go shopping, so you have a choice between going to a mall where they have Kolta Eva Shabalim and Pritzis every 10 feet. I hadn't been in a mall in decades and decades. I had to, about a year ago, I needed a passport. There was a passport issue at the last minute, and the only thing that was open, they told me it's the post office in one local malls, and they said, don't worry, it's the way tip the mall's like 7 city blocks. There's nothing to worry about. So Baruch Hashem, the good news is it was at the tip. I went in just the small part I had to go through, and I think I know what's going on in the world. I had a culture shock. Just what was hanging. Forget the people that accidentally were in a rush and forgot to get dressed in the morning as they were leaving the house. That happens. The people in a rush, they get up and late for work. I understand. Besides that, just the things hanging there, it was a rude awakening, and that was like at 5 o'clock, and there was hardly anybody there, and it was at one side of the mall. So you have a choice between, you need a pair of pants. You have a choice in going to a mall. You have a choice, you live in Muncie, Ladugma. You all know people live in Muncie? Greater Rockland County, Spring Valley, Suffern, Wesley Hills. So you have a choice between going to the mall or going to a frum store. So first of all, there's a tremendous inyan, if not a chiv, to give business to from people for their parnasa, even if you pay a little more. How much more? Up to a fifth, up to maybe not a fifth, a little more. It's a tremendous inyan right there. And although there can be preachers anywhere, but it's going to be contained, hopefully, in a from store with from clientele. And you already have the mile of being mechazik them, both in mamadis and in bringing more business. People see you there. And if you're very chosh, if they see you there, everybody's going to shop there because it's the in thing to do. Versus putting yourself in a makom where you're no doubt going to see Kol Deiva Shabailim for a half hour in, a half hour out, and while you're there. And as I mentioned, half the bachram, I mentioned this too, say, yeah, that's kind of push it. The other half say, no, it costs, it's $5 cheaper over there, and they don't have the selection, and I like these colors better. And I get all sorts of funny teirutzim. I said, you know, this is, you're dealing with Yelam Hab over here. You're dealing with serious, serious Isurim. Said, yeah, but you know, you got to live and got to be out in the street. And since sooner or later, in 20 years, I might be working and I got to see it then, so therefore I should do the Isur now because I might see it then. There are all sorts of interesting people have great imaginations when it comes to these things. So whenever I mention this every couple of years, it's a good thing for Ben Azmanim. I heard this the last day of the official program over here. So the Masifta Bachram, going back to Yeshiva, you'll be in the case of the Bez Medrash, you won't have a problem. For the older Bachram, you now have 5 days of Ben Azmanim, so try to plan where you're going. And no, I don't know which day the Bronx Zoo is free, but over there, if you go in the middle of the day and the public schools aren't out, you're safe. And there are places in this country, we have a big country here, there are places where there are less people and there are more people. The argument I get against that is that any place that has very little people is probably not too exciting, and that's why no one's there. Okay. Sometimes you got to make things exciting. You bring your own chevra and you take over a log cabin somewhere in the great outdoors and you have some shirim, a little chavusa shaf, and they go hiking or whatever you plan for a ben azmanim. It's certainly something, ikadak achrina is a real sugya, something you have to focus on, you have to bring up, and if you bring it up with the chaverim and they look at you, you're strange, send them to me. And we'll explain to them how there's a chiyuv to try to plan these things out till you minimize as much as possible. Which, again, l'chayr is a davar pashut. I could see over here, nobody looks the least bit surprised. So either you heard me say this in a shiur once, or you learned shulchan aruch yourself. But it's quite pashut. You have to try to be careful with these things. And kalamaisiv in the gdarm you put up, areza meshubuch. I'll touch upon two or three in Yanam of Kibbutz Avim, which I remember we discussed last time, which we didn't get up to. It is the beginning of a new Zman, whatever decision you made, wherever you're learning. A common Shaila, the parents want you to learn local, you want to go out of town, you want to go out of town for reasons which you check with your Avim, Lishma, will help you learning, or your parents want you to go out of town, you think your learning is better over here, whatever the scenario is. The din is clear in Shulchan Aruch that there's no Chi of Kibbutz Avim if, on the proper guidance, you feel you're doing what's best for your learning. That does not mean that when you're home, ben azmanim, and you hear your mother coming up the stairs, and you know whenever she's coming up at this particular time of the day, it means can you take out the garbage? So you quickly find the gemara and open it up to whatever daf. Doesn't make a difference. And then when she walks in the room, you're already holding in a sugya, deep. So obviously that doesn't work. If you're around and it's a short term thing, you got to close the Gemara like any other mitzvah. Talmud Torah is, it's connected kulam, but it's not derech mitzvah shebagufay. Then the tainus I hear is that that's why I have sisters. She's not mechayevus in Talmud Torah, and that's why I have a brother standing around schmoozing, and he's not learning anyway. If you can get away with that, and your sister will write you a thank you note for being mezakeh her in the mitzvah, then wonderful. If that's not the relationship, then that's probably not a good idea. And if you're asked, then it's your pashasiz, it's your chiv. The gedder over here is when, it's not a din out of town versus in town or vice versa. The gedder is if the kibbutz of aim is now affecting your siddurim and your mahalach and learning long term, not just an errand over here or errand over there. That's when a shayla has to be asked, and where there is a heter, if the parents are frum and they're with the program, then they'll want to hear from your rabbam why this is better from your learning, perhaps, and it's a discussion, and everybody makes the decision based on the objective good of what's supposed to be done for this particular bacher's advancement. to pull the heter stam when it's convenient is not proper, but there is such a heter. The second, often the common taina that I hear, if the parents are not yet from, if it's a Baal Tshuva, if the parents are from, but the son feels that, or the daughter feels that it's not al pidin and they want to be machmir, you have to be careful where to pick your chumras. If it's a chumrah that everybody keeps, if it's the minhag Yisrael already, and the parents just haven't adopted it yet, that's one shaila. If it's not the family minhag and not everybody keeps it, to introduce a chumrah which is going to stay at the parents is not pashut. Doesn't mean you shouldn't ask an outside source, but the person answering the shaila has to know the family dynamic and what's going on with the parents. And often it's a chumrah asde kula if you're insulting the parents and making them feel uncomfortable that you look firmer than they do, even though it should be their biggest nachas. So these shaylas come up. There's obviously a spike in the amount of shaylas they get from Bochur and Ben Azman because they're home and they're with the family and they're with the parents, and that's when these things come up. And this Ben Azman is no different. So yeah, I just encourage you, because you can't cover every possibility, to ask a shayla before you start doing something that they find annoying. It doesn't mean they're right on the issue, but if it's not a clear din and it might be the geder of a chumrah and it wasn't their minig beforehand, then a shayla should be asked. This includes being makbid on yoshon, even though it's a tremendous inyan, and chal v'yisrael, and all the things that, depending where you're from, Chal V'Yisrael is either a din or a chumrah. But if where you're brought up, it's a chumrah, and they don't keep it, and you want to, which might be a great idea, if the parents are not too happy about it, the shaila is whether to insist on it all the time or when you're on your own. Same thing with Yashin, the same thing with all the other chumras that are wonderful to pick up, but you got to deal with the derayis and keep it of aim and figure out the balance. This is an interesting one. I was giving shiur on this topic. It's a very large topic. But, a bachur asked me this, and a person married with many children asked me this. It can happen at any point in your life. You're invited to a chasna, and you, I think the first time somebody asked me, he was already married many years, and he came over to me and he said that the person who invited me is a person I invited to my chasana years ago, and he didn't come. Interesting, he remembered this. There were hundreds of people there. Some people look out for these things, and I'm not saying he's wrong. Maybe it was a person he felt close to, and the person didn't feel as close to him. Maybe he had a good excuse. He still remembered that he didn't come, and he had tainas. And he wanted to know, is it okay if he doesn't go to his chasana? I said, what do you mean, is it okay? He said, well, somebody told me this, a shayla of nekama. He didn't do a chesed with me, come, so I'm not going over there. So is that usur? It's a good shayla, and it's a shayla that appears in very many different forms. I saw a tshuva from Zilberstein. We discussed the chassid scenario, and he says, depends why you're not going. If you're very busy, you're a big masmid, and you don't have time to go to chasanas every night, you know, if you're married and you have a lot of friends, you live in a place like Muncie, you could be going to simchas your whole life, you'll never learn at night, so you have to pick and choose. So if you're not going, a very important gether, if you're not going because you're looking for an out because you'd rather go learn or you're busy, and you would have had to go because of the shibud, because he came to you, and now you remember he didn't come, and you say, Baruch Hashem, not out of spite, you're not angry at him, he said, Baruch Hashem, he didn't come to me, I don't have the shibud, so I'm not going to go. That's not nekama. That's a decision based on the fallback position would have been, I don't have time to go. Elamai, you have to be mentioned, he came to mind, so I feel I have to go, I feel meshubud. If that's why you're getting out of it, that's not an issue. If you're not doing somebody a favor, the classic example in the Gemara, which Rashi quotes, is a person who asked to borrow a lawnmower, and the guy said no for whatever reason. He's cheap, he's nervous about his kalim, whatever it is. And then the next day he asked to borrow a shovel, and either you don't give him one because he didn't give you the lawnmower, or you tell him like it is that I'm not a rusher like you, and I know how to get along with my neighbors. So that's one's nakama, one's natira. Natira means you still have natira belave. The verbalizing it is just showing it's still belave.
Even if you were given
if you give it to me, you don't say anything, but you still have tainas, you still have natir belev. Most achranim learn is if you have a taina belev. It's just if you say something, it shows clearly. It's worse if you say it.
They're both a problem.
One's nakama, one's natir. If you have in mind to whether the chasna case or the lawnmower case. If you still have tainas in the guy and you force yourself to smile, but you're burning up inside, your pashtus is over on the tiri, not over on the kama, because you gave him the shovel. That's the pashtus. Some say, no, it's only if you actually verbalize it, but many achayim learn it's a din in the tiri, believe. It seems the way the Chafetz Chaim learns it. So everybody asks, why is it that the Gemara only gives a case, we didn't do you a favor? So if you didn't do you a favor, you can't not do him a favor back. Why isn't it talking about a more obvious case? The guy was Mavayashu, the guy baveled you. The guy screamed at you. The guy did something very not nice, but poil. So can you take nakama on that? So there are, the Shari Tshuva says beferish, and there the Miri, there are probably other Rishayim that say beferish, believe it or not. I'm not saying you should do this. This is not a madrega. This is a question what's also what's mutter. If a guy baveled you, you could probably pay back, but you got to measure very carefully, because if you give more, then not an isaribis, but it's already beyond the pale. You can pay back exactly if you can figure that out, which is already a reason not to do it, because how do you measure these things? I'm going to embarrass him with the exact same amount of people, and I'm not going to scream louder. Very hard to measure. But these Rishayim say that technically the only isser is when he didn't do me a favor. It's not an avlam. Maybe he's nervous about his lawnmower. Last time somebody borrowed, he scratched it up. Okay, so then don't take it out on him. He comes, asks for a shovel, give him the shovel. But if it bothered you, so it's a maila now love and vain all of him, shaymin chapasim v'lam eshivim. Gemara says, it's unbelievable madreg, unbelievable bracha. Kal mav rami deisim arvin lo kol pshav, it's a schus and din. It's off the charts what you could do with your ruchnius if you just let go. With that said, is it also? So Shari Shuvah says, and the Miri says, beferish is not also. Sefer HaChinuch, which is widely quoted, the Chafetz Chaim in one place, says the Apostle Sefer HaChinuch says that you have to have bitachon, and it's Me Hashem Yatzadavar, and it was Nigzar Rosh Hashanah, and it's coming to you, and don't shoot the messenger, and he's not a good guy, and it's his cheshbon with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's none of your business, and let it go. It brings the raya that David didn't punish Shimei when he threw mud at him, and he was Mavazim Barab, when he's running away from Hashem. The only problem is that he did punish Shimei later on. When he was dying, he told Shlomo to take care of him. The Mechaschinach alludes to the Kasha, and the Achrayim deal with it at length. But on the moment, he said, Beferish, Hashem Amalek Halal, and it's none of my business. So the Shari Tshuva L'Chari would answer that David was looking for a schus. David Malach knew he needed schus, and he was down and out, he was running from Avshalom, and he said, Beferish in the Pasuk, maybe Hashem will see my pain, and I'll be able to get back my kingdom. Is it a raya that it's also? Sefer Chinuch holds it is. The Shari Tshuva and others L'chaira say that up din you can't ask. It's just a schus and din. If it's b'shas ma'isin, you're defending yourself.
No. So,
they make there are three levels actually. They b'shas ma'isin. If you have to answer in kind, just to be able to save your covet, they shouldn't start rumors about you. It's mutter. Again, usually it doesn't get you anywhere. It becomes a screaming match. So it's only better just to go and they love then all of them take the schus and send them a thank you note. That's the best way to go. The second madrig is, it's not b'shas ma'isa, but it's right afterwards, and they make the comparison to gol adam, like ma'yasa, aben v'leyechta, like you can't expect most human beings in another madrig, they can't hold themselves back, because it's still hot. Yechem levova. And then, a long time, Shiloh, what the time frame is, a long time afterwards, and you're still holding on, then you shouldn't hold on. But Shari Tshuva says b'feirish, that none of this is usher, if it was an avla. Like the Chavetz Chaim, the Bashas Maisa seems to be mutter. Right afterwards, the Raya is Lakan Lakan. Shiloh, the Chavetz Chaim is often quoted to Paschal like the Sefer HaChinuch. There are five, six places he talks about it, and the other ones he seems to side with the Shari Tshuva. Shiloh is a Bavarni, even like the Shari Tshuva, because there's a discussion in Teslamet's mutter, what can you do for Nakama? Can you do Yisurim? Can you steal from him? So come out, all the Achranim say, the Ma'ashak is a Tshuva. He says, you can't steal from him. So you can't steal from him, to vayish somebody barab him with the exact same measure, that's mutter. So what's the chilik in lamdas? Vayish somebody barab him. So I saw one of the sfarim that has an arichas on this mentions, I thought it was an interesting gedder. He said anything that's a tevian based in has a monetary value, has a price tag, that you can't do. If a guy hits you, shavar pruta, bring him to based in. You can't take nakama. Either he's chayiv, it's poti, you have edim, you don't have edim. If you mavayis somebody, busha is only with nezek, the one that hate the varm. There's no separate payment for busha. If you punch him back, but you're careful to punch him, and it's not a shavar pruta. So that's not the Tvi and Beis Din. He says that, according to some Rishonim, seems to be mutter, although probably not advisable. But to start stealing from him, or to start doing a nezek that's already a Tvi and Beis Din, that's not mutter according to anybody. So. Yeah, Shaila is he talking Shas Meiser? Is he talking what's considered Shas Meiser? Are there three Madregas I just described, or are there two? That's the question. And if there are three, then where does this middle one go? 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 20 minutes later. People have different natiyas in their anger management. So for one guy, he said, well, of course I'm still thinking about it. It only happened 3 years ago. The other guy, who remembers? You remember who didn't come to Yachasna 5 years ago? Some people, Lisa Rishon. Other people doesn't. I'm not saying right or wrong. So in Tis Lama, there is a third category. You have to figure out what the time frame is. Anyway, Lamaisa, there are many things that happened in dorms and in yeshiva. And people, again, the schus of being meichel, letting go, we're after Yom Naram. Everybody had mechila when you said in Tefillah Zaka. Except, it's parentheses, I'm not sure why, except for the money people still owe me. That's only in parentheses, I'm not sure why. Everybody asked me, after Merchel everything, I said, look at the parentheses, it says, Befer Rishi Adon. Until I pointed that out, they didn't say parentheses. They should put it in brackets. I'm not sure why in Tefillah Zaka, it's like a side thing. It's a major aspect. No one's interested in letting go of money. Lamaisa, people do walk around with a lot of baggage in these things, and then when the time comes, they might not even realize that they're not doing a certain chesed or behaving with the chaverim because of a taina they have way back. And I'm glad my son's not here. I have a young son, and he's post bar mitzvah, and he went to his pocket last night as we were cleaning up. He took out some cash, so I'm sure the younger bacham know this, you don't really have wallets, so the cash is sort of like in a pile, so it's crumpled up and everything. So I said, you know, maybe you want to put that in a safe place. So he said, well, it's not so much money. We start like ironing out the things, $1, $5, $20, and then I saw a half a $10 bill. So what's this? So he said, no, the other half's over here, piece of the other half, mom shouldn't have. Two parts. So what happened over here? He said, well, I had a little sissuch with my friend about something, and we're learning about mitzvah. We decided yachleku. This happened last night. Now I know why he didn't come with me today. Probably thought I'd mention it. So I said, so why do you have both halves? So he said he felt bad after a while, and he had charotis. He gave it back to me. I said, you tell that to the teller when I bring it to the bank. So that had a nice ending, sort of. I mean, I'm out $10, but sort of had a nice ending. He felt silly after 2 days, you know, keep up whatever the system was about. But we all have classmates and share mates, and it doesn't always end up like that. I saw a hand up before. Yeah?
Why does the Tefillah Zaka, everybody besides the people who did it, not give a tefillah?
It's interesting. The Gemara says, Beferish, if you say Echtav Ashuv, you can't do tshuva. And of course, the question everybody has on that is, well, I'm in trouble because I think I thought the Echtev Ashuv, Yom Kippur is coming, but now I really feel bad I said that. So can you do tshuva? So sort of like a catch-22, but the answer is yes, I hope. Why is that? Because every yeshiva, every frum, every ben teira, if they're doing an aveira, they have to know in the back of their mind, well, this might be usher, it is usher. Or I'm in the mall and my eyes are open and maybe there's something wrong with this or something like that. The rumor that floats around, Rabbi Vina said, it's absolutely also to ever go to malls. I didn't say it's also to go to a mall. You just have to clear out the whole place first. I didn't say it's also. And take down all the posters. There's a head. If you absolutely can't buy whatever you're buying, which I haven't found yet, but let's say a guy, a bach is doing something and they think that deep down, they think that, you know, I probably shouldn't be here. I probably shouldn't be doing this. So what do they think next? They think, well, okay, there's Rosh Chodesh is coming. There's Yom Kippur Katan. I have to wait till Yom Kippur. And then some, believe it or not, even say Tachanun after Sukkot. So I can say Tachanun. And Yom Kippur will come sooner or later. So what are you really saying? You're really saying Echtav Ashuv. And what happens to from Ben Terah when Ella comes and don't wait for Yom Kippur? They really feel bad. So is you can't do tshuva then?
So,
I think what it means is, and this is a shaila in the Sefer HaChinuch, we just mentioned, the Sefer HaChinuch seems to hold that even though the guy baveled you, you got to be merichalim. I'm still not sure what to do with the pshat in the Sefer HaChinuch. If a guy baveled you, every time he sees you, he's a vayish yibarabim. And he's completely non-repentant. Every time you see him, he says the Farish, I would do it again, I'm going to do it tomorrow and the next day. So Sefer HaChinuch holds, you have to be merichal that guy. How did you learn the Sefer HaChinuch? The Chafetz Chaim is sort of possibly the Sefer Chinuch. I'm not sure what the Shita holds. So what that says in the brackets is, if you have a guy who's a Roshim Rushin, every time he bumps into you, or every other time there's another Avla, another embarrassment, and he's chepering you, and you keep saying, why are you doing this? I'm having a good time. Are you going to stop? No. No plans in the immediate future. So you have to merchel a guy like that. Why? That's why I said, so it sounds like the Sefer HaChinuch is saying that. So some learn, even the Sefer HaChinuch is telling you that at the end of the day, Hashem Yotza Dover, and if you can't get rid of the guy, then know that if Nigzon Rosh Hashanah, you can have his aggravation. Does the Sefer HaChinuch really mean that the guy who's saying and keeps doing it over and over again, every time you beg him to stop, he said, no, this is the way I do it, and I get my rise out of being a Vayish Pi Barabim, and you tell him you can lose the Elam Haba, he said, it's worth it, there's a lot of fun. Rahmat Litzlan. Do you have to merchel a guy like that? Is that what the Sefer HaChinuch meant?
If you merchel, you just offering, tell the guy, you do it again.
Yeah, so that might be already Lifneiver. That's the Shaila. This is in the Sefer HaChinuch. So it's not a stira. You could firmly believe that whatever's coming to me, and I love it all, and if you be quiet, you'll get tremendous schar, and it shouldn't shake your bitachon emunah. You should thank HaKadosh Baruch and Maidim for all the kaparas. Better this than Rahman Laslan Chayli Le'Aleinu, or something like that. That's the Sefer HaChinuch certainly saying that. The question is, do you have to merchel the guy? And he's in this repeated mode and posture of just, he couldn't care less. That's your question. Do you have the guy? So I think the answer probably is you don't have to merchel him. I hope you don't bump into too many people, unless you're asking because it's somebody in your dorm, that repeatedly does this. And b'shat nefesh, and you tell them, you know, can you go ask a shayla? I don't have a rav. Can you go ask a yeshiva? I just learned here. I don't have a rosh yeshiva. So, okay, then the guy shouldn't be in yeshiva. You're not going to, you know, if the guy's normal, I don't think you're going to come across this too much. He's certainly not going to, Harry's going to be embarrassed to say it. So most people say, yeah, I'm sorry, and then they can't help themselves and comes up again. But we also do that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You merchel him the next time, you merchel him the next time. Unless the guy says, Pat Mole, that this is my first activity, and I'm going to keep doing this the next year or two, and I have an agenda. But that's going to be highly improbable. Okay, so it's something to think about. We're headed back to yeshiva, and yeah, there are a lot of Be'olam HaChaver issues, and the maila of being yeshiva and being in a dorm, if you are, is to practice your good midas with people who haven't started practicing yet. Speaking of good and bad midas, so this shaila comes up a lot during the summer. I'll mention it now because we don't get to it Pesach Chol Hamoed. It comes up before Pesach also on various odd jobs, even Ben Hazmanim. It's a serious chesha mishpat shaila. And there's a machlekes rishainim, and it's 2 days in the Ramon. Ends up being the Ramon sounds like he's mekel. At first, the pasha says I think he's more not to lachmir, but the shach is mekel. Gets it's a big machlekes achrayim. What's the shayla? We all know there's a mishapara. Mishapara is when you do a kinyan. You're not finished with a kinyan. You do a kinyan the race. You didn't do a kinyan the Ramon. So Chazal made a kinyan, even though kinyan kesef would work. I had to do a Kenya Meshicha, because otherwise, if there's a Chas HaShalom fire in the middle of the night, the guy's not going to do anything heroic to save it, and you'll be out all Yechitim. Shamiyam and Nisal Chitcha Baliyah. So if a person already did a Kenya Daraisa, but didn't finish the Kenya Darabonon, and he wants to back out, he gets a Mishapar. Mishapar is a Klola. Mishapar, Manche Daramabel. It's a Klola, and Shaila does Basin have to give the Klola, or is the Klola Chal automatically? You don't want to be in that Matzah. Then there's a second level of Mechusri Amonah. Mechusri Amonah is a lot more complicated. Mechusri Amonah is when you said you're going to do something. You said you're going to do a sale, you're going to go to a certain arrangement, a certain agreement, and there's no kinyan yet, and you want to back out. So it's a Machlekes already. Mechusri Amonah and Mechusri Shalom had a paskin, and what scenario they were talking about. Is Mechusri Amonah a problem or not? Or can you just back out? The Chafetz Chaim wouldn't back out in any scenario. You're not the Chafetz Chaim. So can you back out? So the reason why this is Nageya, every spring I have the Shaila from Bochurim often before Pesach, but even more before the summer. Bracha takes a job as a counselor. He's working in the kitchen, he's a counselor, he's a lifeguard, whatever the case may be. And he called up, as he does every year, called up the head counselor, the guys in charge of hiring, or whoever runs the camp, or runs the Pesach program. He was working in a Pesach program, and he told them, yeah, he's coming back, thank you very much, and they go over what the salary is, and the parameters of what his shibudim are, and they're all set. Then, June 1st, I picked that date because we're already 3.5 weeks before camp, or if he's going Ben Azmanim, it's July 1st, whenever Ben Azmanim is, and he gets a call from another camp that's desperate for a lifeguard, and they call him and they make him an offer. Often the conversation is, what are you making now? And then they raise it by 50%. I need a lifeguard. It's Maisa Mechayim. So then he calls me and he wants to know, I just got quite a lucrative offer, and is it mutter for me to call the first camp and say that I'm not coming? So I say, do you have a contract? No. You make a Kenyan? Then make a Kenyan. Nothing. Kenyan Chalipin, pick up any pens? No? Okay. No Kenyan. I knew that already. So now what? What's the din? So the Machlekes, the Ramah brings down, might be a case. There's a case where the market conditions change drastically. So market conditions, you have a commodity, all of a sudden you told me you're going to sell gold at $1,000 an ounce, and it went up to $2,000. And the guy says, can I have my gold now for $1,000? I said, no, the price is $2,000. But there's no Kenyan. So that's the Machlekes Rishonim. The market conditions changed. Am I allowed to back out and charge him the new price? Or back out completely? So I know he can't afford the new price, whatever the case may be. So Lach L'maisa, it's a Shaila how we paskin. But I want to add what I think is the crucial nekud over here. Usually after I tell the bachur who's calling this, it's a different conversation. I first have to read him his rights. So I tell him, look, there is a machlokes. I can't tell you. There's nothing to discuss. I just have one question, and just think for a minute before you answer the question. If it's June 1st or July 1st, and you get a call from the head of the camp, who you already were masking 3 months ago that you're taking the job, and he calls you up and he said, Shlaimi, I really appreciate you agreeing 3 months ago to be our lifeguard. I just found somebody just as good at half the price, so don't bother coming. So it's unbelievable. Every single time I say that, they're screaming and yelling, oh, that's horrible. What an avla. What a rush amrusha. Then I asked them, I said, can you please tell me the chilik between case number one and case number two? Then there's dead silence for like 10 hours. Unbelievable, the ability of people to fool themselves when you're not Gebe Dover, just it's breathtaking. I just know easily they fall into the trap because I've done this so many times. There's no chilek. If it's mutter, it's mutter in both directions. I think everybody would agree that if the head of the camp, which they don't do, the head of the camp would call and say, we're starting camp in a few weeks, but I found somebody just as good for half price or twice as good for the same price, they'd be screaming and running to Machan Lara and every basin in between. And the argument would be weak because the Psak Lamais is who's the Muchsuk and Smachlik is Norman, Smachlik is the Shach, and the Yachashokhan is Megal. So, why is it that over here everybody understands so clearly? He says, well, I make $1,000, they get an offer for $1,800. I have to leave $800 on the table? I said, have to? I didn't say have to. I just want you to just think for a moment if the shoe is on the other foot. What would you do? And it's unbelievable how many times I got the shayla, and every single time, first I tell them, I have to be honest, I tell them there's a machlokes and there is what to discuss over here. However, I just want to paint for you another scenario which you might find somewhat similar, and they never find anything similar at all. That no similarity at all, no shaykhis. So I'll let you think about it if anybody here is a chilik. I don't think, is it right for the other camp to call? Hey, Katayna, they're putting the nisayin for the bachur. So I once called the director of another camp who did this, and I asked him, I said, what exactly are you trying to do and what are you thinking? He said, I'm not thinking. Camp is starting in a week and I'm desperate. I knew that. I just wanted to hear him say it. So I said, you realize that if the Bachar is a Ben Terry, he's going to call and ask a Shaila. He said, I was hoping that he didn't think it was a Shaila. He just told me yes. Okay. I said, well, it's a pretty serious Shaila, and I think that this time I played it in the other direction. I said, if he would have been your lifeguard, and you had a lifeguard, and he called you 6 hours before camp and said, I just got a better offer, you don't have a lifeguard, what would you do? So of course he starts saying, that's horrible. Like, whoever I've talked to, I just tell them the other scenario, and they start being mechayer from a gadev, like who would be a Rosh HaMusha to do that? It's all the same. So part of the Chesha Mishpat / Ben Lechaveru issue here is whenever you're handling jobs and whenever you're looking at prices and whenever you think you're very valuable and you might have what to rely on, Al Pidin, make sure you looked at the case from all angles, because next time you might be the guy on the other side. That's the important thing to keep in mind over here. Okay. Let me get to a few of the questions I put on the table right before I came. I don't have too much time. Anybody have any questions about what we covered thus far? No, yes.
If a person cannot find another job, it means he caused them
You can always be chayzer. The shayla is, what if there's a minig? I have the shayla. I had two of these just last night. Playgroups. I think I'm writing a sefer. Playgroups kill chasam. It's like a whole different. It's, you know, the lady usually her husband's learning a kaiul, and she has a finite number of slots, and it's very clear she can only. They're infants, usually 3 or 4, and toddlers, 5. They have a set amount of slots, and the year's starting, and everybody's going to work, and they want to lock it in. And some of them, because they have so many cases like this, are actually asking them to sign. Others, they just mentioned, by the way, I have 10 people, I have 5 slots. If you want it, you're expected to stay. And last night, so now we're a month into the year. Last night, I had 2 of these shaylas, and if there's a mechaltos, and the mother calls and says, "Oh, my child's being abused. It's who knows what's going on. It's in danger." Then I that they have every right to leave either way. Shaylas, they can always leave if they're not comfortable. Let them leave. The shayla is the collateral damage. It's going to take them now 2 weeks or a month or 2 months to get somebody in there without the panos. So that's what you're raising. So. If there is, and we had had a discussion last night with somebody else who was involved in the case, and he said, well, Dina Mechazadina, you're allowed to. I said, yeah, but if there's a minig, and there clearly is a minig, I know this because the people who are backing out already call me and they say, I know I have to give something, but they want 6 months. It's not going to take them 6 months. I just want to pay 2 weeks or a month. Okay, then there's a discussion. What's the expectation? Yeah, but legally, for the Dina Mechazadina and halachically, you have a right to leave if you're not comfortable. That's not the shayla. We can't force somebody to stay. The shayla is there a taina over here, something's not done right, in which case there's a mechaltos, and then they don't even have to pay for any collateral damage. Or you don't feel comfortable, but you don't want to go through the discomfort of discussing it, which I understand. You have every right to leave. Question is, what if they say it's going to take me at least 2 weeks, a month, or 2 months to find somebody? If I find somebody earlier, great. But I'd like you to pay for that, and that's the understanding. Shaila is, how strong is that minig? Shaila comes up quite often. Lamaisa, people, Paul Chaser, people are free to go. You can't lock somebody up, and you can call the head of the camp and say it's 6 hours before we're starting, or it's 5 minutes before they're jumping in the pool, and I'm leaving. I just got a better offer. Of course, you also have to keep one more thing in mind, just from a practical point of view. You're not going to get too many job offers if word gets around that you keep doing this. That's dumb. It's not even smart. It's good to have a shame tov. It's good to know that you're an honest person and you win the serious nefesh. Your word is a word and that's it. As I said, the Chavetz Chaim wouldn't do this. Wouldn't even contemplate the shayla. But it is a shayla. What's mechutzri amonam? And when is it considered a market change? It's a market change. I thought I was worth 1,000. Now I see I'm worth 1,800. So is that a market change? And do we pass like the first sheet to the second sheet to the Ramah? And then, of course, if the shoe was in the other foot, would you be screaming and yelling? That's the shayla over here, and it happens all the time. Says Kedai to know that there's at least what to discuss. Yes.
If you can get someone to replace you in the first camp, would you then be able to move? Would be able to take.
If they like the replacement, that's a, you know, the replacement is if you have a friend, he's just as good, and he's a lifeguard, just as strong, he's just as quick. If you come to camp and knock on the office and tell the head lifeguard that I'm sorry, I got a better offer, but here's my brother, he's 7 years old, but he's very good. You know, you have to know. You know, usually you're just like putting somebody to plug a hole. It's got to be somewhat shava b'shava. They have an achrayas also.
A lot of times you have people that will say, is it fine to say you can handle it, you're moichel, whatever it is, and you say the other person doesn't have a choice because you're being so nice that how you're backing out.
You know, it's...
So they end up saying, okay, fine, you know, it's say day, we'll handle it.
There are some people, Erev Yom Kippur, there are many, we try to ask everybody mechila because you never know. But there are certain people we know we really have to ask mechila. It's uncomfortable. That's not easy. There are certain people who wait like till a minute before Tehillat Zakeh, or a minute before Kol Nidre, or a minute before Aleinu by Ma'ariv of Yom Kippur, and they go over and they say Yimayach Hamei. Now they didn't apologize. Yimayach Hamei is not I apologize. Yimayach Hamei means I don't really want to apologize, but it's Yom Kippur. Can you please be Yimayach Hamei? Now anybody at that point. It's happened to all of you, I'm sure it's happened to me. What are you going to say? No? It's Yom Kippur. Everybody wants chusin. The answer is yes. You're asking, well, was that a real mechila? You want the chus? Now, love Ben Alvin. Marvel Midaisav. So then be melech ha'balev shalem. You're saying tevila zak anyway. Mean it. But that's not the right way to ask for mechila. First you apologize, then you discuss what was wrong and discuss it a few minutes. And then you ask, okay, now you melech ha'balev. Not you melech ha'balev and then walk away before you heard the answer. It's better than nothing. But there's a process.
As far as dropping out of a job.
The fact that there's a chesh mishra shai there also doesn't mean there isn't also going to be hard feelings. You got to pass in both, but yes, people think in the workplace, you know, I just got to maybe deal with the chesh mishra shai and look for some shita that holds like me, and I'll say, Kimli, I certainly don't have to ask mechila. That's not true. Yeah, there are people here, and these aren't just computers, and there are people with feelings. So you got to cover yourself. There was another hand up. You order the taxi is worse because then you call him. The taxi might have, again, depending on the scenario, depending on how many taxis are around, if you called him and he left his base and now spent 25 minutes getting to your house and it's 2 in the morning and he had 2 calls at the same time, 2 women were having a baby. Where else would it come up 2 in the morning? And the other one had to go to NYU and you're just going to Good Sam. So he just gave up, but you called him 10 seconds earlier. He just gave up $180 taxi fare. And I'm not saying it's your fault. You thought she was having a baby and now everything's calm. So do you have to pay him? In that case, you're an honest. But if you call him and then you just find a taxi that's cheaper, so then it's at least the same Shaila. And I can't imagine a taxi. How much cheaper is it going to be that you call that a drastic change in market conditions? It's, again, if the guy shows up and you go out to explain it to him and you're wearing a yarmulke, I don't think it's worth the $10. Just, you've got to worry about the Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem also. If there's an industry standard that's understood, no, it depends how long it took to get there. That happens sometimes when he delays. And by the time he gets here, he says, well, I just got here, I couldn't find your house. Okay, but for 45 minutes you couldn't find my house, you're 10 minutes away. So then it's a taina. To stam, save yourself $10 on that, where you already mafsed him. He spent gas, he spent time getting here. It's not great.
What if it's a Goyish company?
Goyish company, Geneva Zakam and Chil Hashem Vakam is a problem also, sometimes a bigger problem. So you can't, again, unless he took his time. I have, in Muncie, this happens more than in the city. The city, all you have to do is know the alphabet and numbers. And you can usually find the house. Here in Muncie, it's an adventure every time. Nobody can ever find my house. There's still taxis driving around looking for it. So you call a taxi sometimes and, call a car service. It can take, unless they're from and they know the layout, it could take a long time. There comes a point you're not responsible. If the guy doesn't have a GPS, and, then you don't have to wait that long, but you got to give him a chance. And if it's so common that everybody knows they're just not happy about it, then technically you wouldn't be mechuyah. But for the $10 you're saving, I don't know if it's kedai. Yes?
Let's say you're waiting for the local bus. When the bus won't come, so you call a taxi.
It doesn't come. It's late?
It's there running all day. Yeah, a minute. So you call a taxi.
Yeah, and then the taxi comes, and then the same shaila. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's...
And the bus is cheaper.
The bus is certainly cheaper, but if he got there in due time, it's the same Shiloh then. You called him, you just wasted his time. The question is, Chai Batala, he's not taking you over there, so you didn't waste the full $10, so maybe give him something for his work.
No, you got on the bus before the taxi.
Then it's going to be very hard to make amends. You know, if you ask for assistance, we should recognize there's a guy who was famous nice, he was looking for a parking space in Bar Park, which is an adventure unto itself also. And he started davening and davening to Kosh Baruch, I need a space, I got to go in shopping. And as he was davening, all of a sudden a guy pulled out and he said, it's okay, Kosh Baruch, I just found one. So we consider that beyond chutzpah, right? What do you mean? Who do you think helped you find the space? So, Lahavdil, Elif Avdolus, you called the guy to get you out of a pickle. And you're waiting and waiting, you really got to get somewhere. And all of a sudden, last minute, he came and he was, and now it's okay, I found somebody. It's not great for the Midas, and it is a small head. So again, it's not the round trip, but it's a... Depends how heavy your accent was and what neighborhood you live in.
People
fly on taxis all that. Yeah, okay. That depends how anonymous it is. Okay, one more, and then we'll you have to eat lunch one of these days. I wanted to get to. There's one other hand up before. Okay, so I'll get this one of them on here, which is short. Okay, this isn't short, but you know what? Remind me, Pesach time. We're up to this. I'll start it now. I'll just give 1 minute, 2 minutes worth, and remind me, Yemetz Hashem next Chol HaMoed. What are the guidelines for Yichud while on a date? It's very interesting. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva. A lot of people know Rav Moshe's kulas, but when he has what we call chumras, which he just held as Ikar Adin, somehow it's not as well known. I can't figure out why. Rav Moshe held, in terms of Hilchas Yichud, that if you're in a car, even if you're in a main highway, but you could go off to a side road, that's already a problem. Without explaining the lumber, why should that be? Ramesh is not making his own gezeirah, but he held that was already an issue. The minig is not so. People who are already going out, it's not a bashel, people already going out, they go out in a car. If you want to be machmir with Ramesh, you go out with a taxi. You should get all the taxis that you missed before and call them in for giving some business. And then they have sort of a half a shamir visit. If he's an akum, is not a great shamir, but at least there's somebody there. But the minig is not so. The minig is people take cars and they go. The problem, even without this quote-unquote chumra from Amesha, is that when you go from point A to point B, you're not just on the main road. Especially in Muncie. In Muncie, this is a huge problem. Muncie, they take pride in having no lights anywhere. And neighbors complain when they put in too many street lights. Go figure. I'm from Brooklyn, so maybe I just don't understand the mentality. But normally you'd think people like to look where they're going. There are side streets here in Muncie, not too far off the beaten path, that are at 1 in the morning you get home from a date. There's really nobody around. Most people, if they're going to work, are getting up at 4 in the morning to be in the Palisades at 5 before they hit traffic. It's a whole different culture here. And they're going to sleep early. So no one's driving by. Most dead-end blocks, sometimes they have like 4 houses on them. So no one's derech hateva coming by, and it's dark. That already has nothing to do with our Moshe. Yichud doesn't mean inside a room with a locked door only. It means when you're in a matzav where no one's coming by. That's a problem if you're driving in the country. It's a problem, and more of a problem in Muncie. It could be a problem in other towns as well, and that you have to be concerned about, and you have to get back on time. That there shouldn't be a problem. And many brochim have told me that's good if the date's not going well. What happens if I want to stay out longer, or I just came after second Seder and supper and I drove in from Lakewood and it's already 8:45 and we're just starting? You got to be very careful. I would suggest turning the internal lights on. For some strange reason, there's a shmuel going around for the last 50 years which has no basis whatsoever that that's illegal. I don't know who made that up. Perfectly legal to drive lights inside your car. If you get a ticket, don't call me. But I asked a few people, I said, well, why is it illegal to turn the lights on your car? They say you can't see out. I've done it. You could see out just fine. And then at least people can see into the car, wherever you're driving. So there's some mirrors, so somebody might drive by. But if you're on a block and you're dropping her off, and you're about to drop off and you're still schmoozing for another 20 minutes sitting on a side road with 3 houses, nobody coming by, 1 in the morning, that's a pretty dangerous mix, and that's a potential yichud problem. What some bachim told me is that it's not a problem because her parents are still waiting up. So I usually ask, is she the youngest or the oldest? He says, toward the bottom. I said, they're not waiting up anymore. If it's the oldest, the first one going out, no matter what time it is, they're waiting up. You can't depend on that unless you know that to be the case. But this is a serious issue, and you have to time it right or go out with somebody from Bar Park or Manhattan or something like that where it's well lit and figure it out. Mitzvah Shem will pick up on this next time. Okay, these are available. You can see the front desk.